Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the 6th day of February, now 2021. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And as usual lately, the question is, how do we begin to recap a week when the most sane things that happened wouldn't have even qualified for a headline in The Onion or the Babylon Bee? And yeah, Idiocracy's already been done, multiple times of late. I guess it's by noting that the insanity simply isn't funny anymore, and it really does go way beyond tyranny, too. So to make that point, let's start overseas, outside of CCP America, with no longer Great Britain, where this headline came from PFW News via Zero Hedge on Friday about the vaccine minister, Achtung of the UK, Nadhim Zahawa. The formerly free nation's top bureaucrat when it comes to the rollout of the Zyklon B vaccine, where he said, responding to questions on a radio interview with The Sun, and obviously no one's laughing about this, that everybody, Achtung, over the age of 50 must be vaccinated before they even begin to think about lifting the lockdown. And furthermore, he insisted the UK is now on track to have poked nearly everybody in the so-called most COVID vulnerable group. Oh, by the way, the key guinea pig group too, those over age 70, within the next 11 days. And that's still not enough to lift the freedom-crushing restrictions. Summarizes this piece, the people of England are currently strapped down under harsh lockdown rules that restrict them from being social with anyone outside their home or their support bubble without a government-approved, quote, reasonable excuse. Achtung, or else there will be consequences. In Chinese communist-controlled America, the communist-controlled House on Thursday voted to strip one of the very few members there that seems to have a backbone and arguably more huevos than most of the male members of the leftist caucus, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, of all of her committee assignments. Because she has the guts to speak up and tell Americans the truth, und that too is obviously now verboten. How dare she hold beliefs that express what's really going on in this country? House traders voted 230-199 to remove Green from the House Education, Sick, and Budget Committees, with 11 turncoat rhinos joining the leftists after the GOP, true to form, declined to actually do anything to stop them. Some, though, did suggest that the traitors were setting a dangerous precedent, as past totalitarian revolutions also seem to have done. Bottom line, you can be a communist Chinese spy, support riots, looting, and outright murders in the name of Antifa and Black Lives Matter, and obviously talk about openly assassinating a president of the United States, if of course he's Orange Man Bad, and basically crap upon your oath of office to a constitution that clearly most of them detest anyway. But if you dare to suggest things like QAnon might have had more on the ball than most of the Communist Party USA, you will be punished. Contrast that, by the way, with the whorish GOP so-called leadership, which allowed scumbag Liz Cheney of Wyoming to hold on to her position in the House, following a, what else, a secret ballot, even though voters in Wyoming are doing everything they can, and in massive numbers, to get her out of the House from the grassroots level. Noting that polls nationally are saying 91% of Republican voters would vote for the president again, but only 13% of Wyoming Republicans would make that same mistake and vote for Liz Cheney again. One pundit wrote, only the GOP would keep someone in leadership who has a 10% approval, even among her own voters. On to other inanities and crimes against a formerly free republic. The senile marionette-in-chief on Thursday announced he will be raising refugee admissions back up to 125K for the first year of the regime in the midst of the COVID pandemic. Hey, how better to bring in more diseases than we've already got? And how's he doing it? Of course, by tyrannical executive order, in order to, as his handlers put it, begin the hard work of restoring our refugee admissions program to meet the unprecedented global need. Because the global need seems to be destroying what's left of America. In the People's Republic of Wisconsin, a joint resolution to end the unconstitutional emergency order of the tyrannical governor there, Tony Evers, passed the Republican-controlled legislature on Thursday, 52-42, after having been approved by the Senate earlier in the week, and within 60 minutes, the Wisconsin Führer issued another statewide mask mandate. Und don't you dare try to overturn this one. So we turn to, of all places, California for what might be good news, writes Christina Layla for the Gateway Pundit. The recall of their tyrannical governor, Gavin Gruesome Newsom, seems now to be unavoidable. His poll numbers are tanking. The recall effort has already attracted 1.4 million signatures. And they have until just after the Ides of March to collect the last 100,000 or so to put the issue on the ballot. Although they know they need a whole lot more than that, given the chicanery and vote rigging that is sure to follow. Anybody else notice how it's so much easier to use fake ballots to put somebody into an office than it is to use real petition signatures to get a crook back out? And a quick case in point on that score, the Gateway Pundit has now linked video of the election fraud in Michigan, van showing up delivering cases of ballots in the wee hours of the morning after the rig. Not that facts, though, have any place in the new Fourth Reich. From there, let's take a look back at the rest of the week, more or less chronologically, starting with what I said on Monday about how the truth is busting out all over. The markets are rigged, the Fuhrer's a fake, and the booga 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 flu. Can't say China virus anymore now, can ya? COVID-1984, though, of course, still fits. For which gullible, dumbed-down Americans are still lining up to take their Zyklon B vaccinations. It's still nowhere nearly as deadly as the poke, and it seems like even that is finally beginning to come out. So if there was a theme as we began the month of February, it's got to be big lies being revealed all over the place. Still, though, you know darn well what that means. Big Brother and his satanic minions and the ministries of truth are going to double down. And indeed, they already are. Meanwhile, though, truth is busting out all over. So let's pick it up in the financial markets where it's long overdue. Last week, the big news was Robinhood and its nemesis, Wall Street Bets, which encouraged a bunch of the little guys to get together and call the bluff of the big hedge funds that were shorting the you-know-what out of certain stocks, primarily and most famously, now at least, GameStop. And, of course, a populist uprising, as it's been called, that threatened to blow the doors off the crooked casinos. Over the weekend, of course, we had headlines like this on op-eds and updates from people your host has long respected. Charles Hugh Smith of Two Minds wrote, "The democratization or demonization of speculation," referring to the fact that big banksters and their hedge funds and other manipulators and cover-up artists are squealing like stuck pigs, in which he said the following, "If the political scum apologists want to end democratized speculation, like we're seeing now, they're going to face blowback when they try to protect the so-called rights of the new nobility to continue manipulating markets to their own exclusive advantage. This rage against the new mobility's lock on capital, rigged markets, and 97% of all the income generated by capital has been simmering to a boil, and the scum apologists had best learn to tread carefully," he says. After all, how do you unrig a rigged speculative market? You don't. It simply crashes into a putrid sinkhole. Phantom capital vanishes into the thin air from which it came. Ponder, he says, other great big bubbles we've seen crash before, like the Cisco Systems speculative frenzy back in 2000 and the Tesla speculative frenzy in 2020. Famed investor Bill Gross compared the GameStop short squeeze to other historic populist political uprisings and noted that this frenzy has few parallels and is indicative of prior mania and tops that go with them as far back as the South Sea Bubble of 1720. Another commentator wrote, "Could hashtag Wall Street Bets be the early innings of a financial Arab Spring?" Notably, after Robinhood tried to staunch the bleeding by literally stomping down on traders, Gulag helped them out by deleting over 100,000 one-star or very negative reviews, proving once again that if you're too big to fail and too big to jail, Big Brother's other minions will step in and help cover for your perfidy as you abuse your own customers. We note that the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton, set out on Friday what's called a civil investigative demand to 13 entities, including Robinhood and Citadel, some of the main players in this scummy scenario, regarding the suspension of stock trading and investing for people that were, well, naive enough to think they'd get honest treatment there. Because basically they're doing all kinds of things to prevent going bankrupt in the frenzy that's exposed the nasty underbelly of this entire rigged system. Said the Attorney General of Texas, "Wall Street corporations cannot limit public access to the free market." I have to put the word sick after free market now, don't I? Nor, he said, should they censor discussions surrounding it, particularly for their own benefit. This apparent coordination between hedge funds, trading platforms, and web servers to shut down threats to their market dominance is shockingly unprecedented, said Paxton, and wrong. It stinks of corruption, unquote. Writing under the headline, "This is a financial revolution," at the end of last week, the sovereign man, Simon Black, noted that the lesson here is obvious. When we, the little guys, screw up, we pay the price for our mistakes. But when the big banksters screw up, the whole financial system comes to their rescue. No wonder, he said, the little guys who are now striking back were so frustrated by the rigged financial system. Like others who've been watching the rig system for quite a while, he interjected a note of caution, saying GameStop is similar in that we do strange things when we're angry, but it still makes us feel better. This business, though, loses tons of money. It's lost half of its equity in the last year, has a net asset value of just $690 million. Yet, as of last week, its stock prices were valued at close to $20 billion, which does seem a bit inflated now, doesn't it? But he said, as the Reddit users themselves note, it's not about the money, it's personal, it's emotional. They're knowingly engaging in this destructive or even self-destructive behavior here, and they're okay losing money because they're angry. And this, said Simon Black, is a sign of the times. We saw explosive mob anger last year over various social issues, political issues, health issues, to the point, folks, where we're literally at the brink of civil war. And now, says Simon Black, we're seeing it in the financial system. Personally, he says, I think a better strategy can be had by borrowing from the 1983 movie War Games, where the climax of the movie was, remember, in a game where the big military simulation computer famously asked, "Would you like to play global thermonuclear war?" Quote, "The only winning move is not to play." And that, he says, is true of the stock market. If you think it's rigged, you don't have to play. So instead, consider alternative investments like gold, silver, real estate, private companies, crypto. A lot of other ways, your host notes, to come out of her. And that certainly, he concludes, is a good reason to have Plan B. Which brings me, folks, to the big financial news of the truth that's busting out all over on a Monday morning. Yeah, we talked about it last week, too, and your host has literally been observing this buildup now for years. Probably the most rigged market on planet Earth, certainly the most oversold when it comes to selling things which cannot be delivered, is the paper precious metals market, but in particular is real money, constitutional money, scriptural money, silver. I'm talking about the metal, of course, not futures, not short sales, not ETFs like SLV. And since this one, too, is absolutely a battle royale, let's wade right in and try to pick it up as much as we can in the midst of the battle. It's been a long time coming, said a story from Zero Hedge, approximately as the markets open this morning. But for precious metals fans, the day of joy has finally arrived, following a coordinated campaign to buy both silver ETFs in the paper realm and real precious metals in the physical, which over the weekend left virtually every U.S. precious metals retailer with either little or no physical inventory. Silver has finally exploded higher, following in the footsteps of those other most shorted names. And it's been trading at above $30 an ounce, even on the Crimex, the crooked casino this morning, folks, soaring by 11.5% at one time, its biggest one-day jump since September 16 of 2008. Hey, yeah, that's the day that Lehman filed for bankruptcy. And if silver manages to close here, it would be the highest price since early 2013. Well, that's one of the big questions, certainly not the biggest one, but still, we'll see. Earlier in the day, U.S.-listed silver market stocks were also up big time in pre-market trading, between 12 and over 30%, and the same was true for other silver miners around the world. All of which, notes Zero Hedge, might be traceable to the Reddit Wall Street Bets forum, where one post last week declared, correctly, the paper silver market in its various forms to be the biggest short in the world, and encourage traders to pile into the iShares Trust as a way there to stick it to the big banks. By way of more background, there's this. Tyler Wall, CEO of SD Bullion, wrote the following. In the 24 hours preceding Friday's market close, SD Bullion sold nearly 10 times the number of silver ounces that we would normally sell in an entire weekend, leading to the Sunday market open. In a normal market, he continued, we normally can find at least one supplier or source willing to sell some ounces over the weekend if we exceed our long position, i.e. the number of ounces we predict will sell over the weekend. However, everyone we talk to is now afraid of a gap up on Sunday night at the market open. This is about, he said, to get really interesting, as there was very little inventory left from the suppliers or mints going into Friday's close. Our direct AP supplier informed us after the close on Friday that, quote, the U.S. Mint will be on allocation for the remainder of Type 1, i.e. the current Silver Eagle design, and our sales for the month of January have exceeded any one month last year during the heart of the pandemic. It was an all-time record month in our company's history. Whereupon Zero Hedge quotes, quoth the Raven, or QTR, saying, "This is a red pill moment for many, and it's beautiful." Regardless, QTR wrote of what happens with the hashtag silver squeeze, a lot of younger people are now for the first time informing themselves that real metals are the only true real money. And that realization, he said, and I would say this is correct as well, sticks for life, even when the squeezes end. That is the red pill moment for many, and it really is beautiful, unquote. And as Sunday rolled around, some of the biggest silver dealers around all halted sales amidst unprecedented demand. Summarized Tyler Durden cites from Money Metals, SD Bullion, JM Bullion, and Apmex all halted sales. As I'm working on this recording right about midday, folks, Apmex, for example, still shows that 90% silver coins, a.k.a. junk silver bags, are, quote, currently out of stock. While the few silver eagles that they do seem to have available are up literally almost a third since late last week. Apmex CEO Ken Lewis came out with their own statement to their customers on current market conditions, saying they've seen a dramatic shift in silver demand from our customers since last week. Bottom line, lots and lots more people are waking up to what's happening and trying to get in while they think they still can. Any precious metals dealer will take a long position, he wrote, in the futures market to protect against spot price exposure when the markets open. We do this because it's our goal not to take a speculative position on metal, but the weekends are unique as we're not able to real-time hedge our position. We took an aggressive position this weekend, but clearly could not have predicted the volumes that were seen. We have partnerships around the world that allowed us to cover these long positions, but only to a point. Once we exceeded our comfort levels, we had little choice but to stop the sale of silver on our website. This was a difficult decision to make and unprecedented in our history. Given what's going on, they say, it's difficult to know where silver's price and demand will go in the coming days and weeks. Yes, they say, Apmex is highly capitalized. We have more than $150 million in inventory to support demand, and we've made strategic decisions to procure additional metal, locking up any metal we can find in the marketplace. Still, though, he said, we suspect premiums will rise and rise quickly as we're seeing significant increases in our costs when we can even locate the metal. It's also highly likely we'll need an additional day or two to fill orders based on current order counts. And as your host has pointed out, and so many CEOs are also now echoing, like president of GoldSilver.com, Alex Daly, this rush on physical silver came at a time when the industry was already experiencing tight supply. And remember, folks, do not confuse the paper supply with the real stuff. In fact, he said, over the weekend we saw 50 times the number of buys as sells. And he emphasizes this, the spike in demand quickly drove up spot prices as well. They've jumped nearly 20% in the past week, much of that since Friday. And there are, of course, many good fundamental reasons for silver prices to be higher than they have been, as so many good market analysts have been outlining for so long. Buried in the volumes of Zero Hedge coverage of the latest exposure of the crooked casinos was this tidbit. It's the kind of thing your host has been warning about literally for years as well. So they wrote, as silver approaches $30, keep an eye on major price slams emerging either out of central banksters, they didn't spell that right, who desperately need to keep precious metals prices lower, or on the Bank of International Settlements, BIS itself. And sure enough, who could have thought it? Right on schedule, the Empire Strikes Back. Dateline just before 11 a.m. Eastern Time, having surged by the most since Lehman, topping $30 for the first time since 2013, silver futures. Let me say that again. Silver futures, not to be confused with actual physical metal, but that's the intent here, took heavy volume punishment, right on schedule and right as you would have expected. And silver miners, after the big run-up earlier, lost ground fast as well. Is the WSB squeeze fest over, they ask? Well, folks, at this point, your host feels the need to weigh in just a bit. Depending upon whose numbers you believe, the ratio of paper silver that does not exist but nevertheless has still been sold into what now passes for a market exceeds the real amount of physical silver that could be delivered by a ratio that's either stratospheric or somewhere way out there in far Earth orbit. At least 100 to 1, and that's probably a conservative estimate. Imagine playing a game of musical chairs where there wasn't one too few chairs for the numbers of people that were playing, but 100 times more people playing than there were chairs. Here's the way I'd see the difference between this week's gambit, between the biggest money players on the planet, and the little guys, who, yeah, are mad as hell and don't want to take this anymore, and have managed to throw, well, possibly a you-know-what into the punch bowl, at least so far, and now somebody may have poked at the bear. So a bit of history is probably in order. What we've seen in the last week or so with stocks like GameStop, where there were huge short positions, was a bunch of small investors that got together and said, well, let's basically buy them up. We'll buy enough shares, they'll have to deliver, and then there'll be a problem. That's what the short squeeze basically amounts to. The price of the stock goes up, that forces some short covering, which drives up the stock price some more and increases the upward price momentum. More people see it and decide to pile on. And along the way, what you might call the ripple effects, having to do with leverage and margins and people that don't have enough capital to deliver on what they've promised and so forth, and that ripples through the market in turn and causes some real consternation. But eventually there comes a point at which one of a couple things happens. Usually, you've heard this before, those with the gold that make the rules decide it's time to change the rules. And given that they're above the law, and especially now that we have a completely communist regime, and they know they can get away with it, well, all kinds of things are likely to happen. And as we saw by Friday, that's exactly what did happen. Here's one, at the risk of oversimplification, if the shares don't exist, by the way, the money doesn't either, why not just print more shares like we print more money? Call it even! It's good to be bankster to the king. And again, yeah, that's oversimplified, but the big risk is if you do that too blatantly, people realize, wait a minute, isn't that exactly what they're doing in the paper precious metals market? Well, come to think of it, isn't that exactly what they're doing with the almighty fiat dollar and so forth? When the final crisis of confidence comes, yeah, that one, it's all over.
But that's not what's worrying me. It's how to do it. These things must be done delicately, or you hurt the staff.
Well, sometimes, folks, like we saw this week, there's no real time for delicacy. Meanwhile, though, when it comes to a stock like GameStop, which is now, and everybody knows this, way, way overvalued, there's no way to get the money back out except to sell it. And then, as we also saw, the bubble popped, which is why your host thinks this silver play, long overdue, is really, really interesting. Because in the case of silver, what we've seen with most actual investors that realize real silver is real money and has been for thousands of years, same thing goes for gold, of course, it's just that the gold to silver ratio is way out of whack. The old saying is that when gold explodes, it'll go into orbit. But when that happens, silver's going to the moon. And real briefly, here's what I mean. The historic ratio between gold and silver has been, give or take, about 20 to 1, maybe a bit lower. The ratio of those two metals in the Earth's crust is also approximately similar, somewhere between 15 and 20 to 1 over the centuries. If you look back at history, when, for example, the U.S. had honest money, a $20 double eagle weighed about an ounce, it was gold, whereas approximately the same weight of silver was called a silver dollar. But for quite a while now, that ratio between gold and silver has been a lot closer to 100 to 1 than 20 to 1. Today, even with silver's recent big gains, it's still only about 65 to 1, so it looks like it might have a lot further to go to get back to a historic norm. So with all of that on the table, here's what's truly interesting about the potential for a genuine, and I mean physical, silver squeeze. When people buy silver, they tend to hang on to it. Not at all, for example, like those that are buying stock, like GameStop, or ETFs, like the paper silver SLV. Those that know what real silver is realize that while it's being suppressed is no time to trade it for something else. Notice I said trade, not sell. And I'll say this, if you're planning on buying physical silver, don't plan on selling it. It's real money, it's a real store of value, paper isn't. You hold on to it because you know that eventually you'll be able to trade it, even if you don't know what for right now, for something you'll need. And by the way, folks, let me say it again, that's not investment advice, because investments are supposed to be the kind of thing that are made based on paper, right? We're talking about stuff that's real, in terms of both the Constitution and Scripture. And if you thought toilet paper might be an important survival item, ponder what that makes silver. So, no, don't confuse buying silver with an investment. Given what we all know is coming at this point, you need firearms, you need skills, you need food, you need the ability to be someplace safe, you need all kinds of things, in other words, that are hardly investments, even though they're probably a matter of life and death, nevertheless. And we'll pick it up there after the bottom of the hour break. Welcome back now to the second segment for this evening. Again, I'm your host, Mark Call. And again, we're talking about a country and even a world that's not only been dumbed down, but gone completely insane. But what's no less disturbing is the fact that even that doesn't describe the depth of the dissent here. It's moronically stupid. It makes Idiocracy look like a PhD thesis at a dumbed-down what now passes for American University, an institution of higher asininity. And what's the latest real news that sets your host off today? I'm really tired, folks, of having to do introductions that sound like something out of The Onion or the Babylon Bee, and then I realize, no, that was real satire. This is just plain stupid. Certainly by now we've heard about the latest insultingly stupid crap coming from the mouth of America's Dr. Mengele. Is one mask enough? Six too many? The guy can't even keep his lies straight. The fact that Americans aren't laughing the CDC and the whole concept of double masking right into an asylum speaks volumes. I guess if one chain link fence won't keep the mosquitoes out, maybe two might. And did you hear about the new Biden submarine? It doesn't have one screen door, it has a double screen door, just in case. And for some really horrible reason, I find myself constantly thinking about an old joke. It was really over the top and kind of disgusting then. I'm not going to tell it, but it involves what's called a two-bagger. You use two just in case one falls off. America, folks, is a bad joke. And by now you're probably thinking, and you'd be right, wait a minute, that's old news. What set him off today? Answer, more than one similar, insulting, and even stultifyingly stupid example of why stupidity is the only universal capital crime. And I'm even running out of synonyms for stupid. So here's another story I didn't do, but it did toss another couple of bales onto the camel's back. The anal COVID swab. Yeah, how stupid are you? It's not enough people will let somebody shove who knows what up their nose and infect them with, well, we do know what. No, now they want to humiliate you by forcing you to drop trow and stick it up your rear end. At least there's a metaphor there that can't be missed, except perhaps by the terminally stupid. They're allegedly doing it in communist China, or at least they're propagandizing people about it. If there's one thing by now you know is a lead pipe cinch, it's that their marionette-in-chief is going to try to do it to people here. And what's even worse, Governor Newsom and Whitmer and other socialist puppets will mandate their slaves to take one up the you-know-what for the team, and the blithering morons will do it. Just for a brief second here, folks, and by way of contrast, can you imagine what would have happened if some redcoat back in 1775 had told Sam Adams or Thomas Jefferson to bend over so he could shove a swab up his butt? Gee, just guess who would have ended up walking funny back when we were a nation of real men and people who understood what liberty was actually about and were willing to say no to tyranny by physical force if necessary. Your host isn't alone in thinking that the physical and economic destruction of America face has now moved well beyond that into the humiliation and degradation of the corpse phase. Vasco Kollmeyer, writing for LouRockwell.com, called the COVID anal swab, correctly, another instrument of state terror, and said that if you ever needed any more proof that the whole COVID plandemic is nothing more than an excuse for governments to subdue, control, and literally screw over their populations, look no further than the latest procedure that sounded like a joke, but it really is coming your way. It's the COVID anal swab, and like everyone else, he writes, when I first heard of it, I thought it must have been some kind of stupid, sick joke. But, turns out, I did the research, it really is true. In China, they're already at least claiming they're merrily at it, so you can be sure it's coming here. And the absurdity of this testing protocol should be obvious at first sight. COVID-1984, or so they tell us, is a disease of the respiratory tract caused by a strain of booga booga booga, the China flu. Guess why I put it that way? To test for the presence of organisms that cause respiratory illness, normally you look in places that are associated with respiration. So why are they sticking sticks up people's butt? By the way, folks, your host can answer that, and it's very important to what follows. Because if you'll let somebody get away with that, what won't you let them do to you? As far as this writer knows, he says COVID-1984 is the first respiratory disease for which diagnosis via anal route is sought. And the so-called scientists behind this travesty claim the purpose is to ensure that a person really, truly doesn't have COVID, even when a deep nasopharyngeal swab has already yielded no positives, and furthermore, even when the pro-COVID-skewed PCR testing of the specimen, which is already able to yield a 97% false positive rate, or more if you crank up the CT even higher, doesn't get it done. So yeah, they've got a test which produces incredible numbers of false positives, but still shows someone to be disease-free, so let's go digging into people's rear ends. Another quick aside here, it'll certainly show them who's boss and humiliate them in the process, so they'll never want to talk about it, but will obey Big Brother, maybe even love him. And by the way, if you want to implant something really nasty, can you think of a better place to shove it? Well, you get the picture, folks. This, he says, is indeed what dystopia looks like. And I gotta say, no, we've gone well beyond dystopia. We've gone beyond Idiocracy. Beyond The Hunger Games, beyond George Orwell's 1984, beyond Brave New World. We're practically out of dystopian metaphors. I think we're out of words. Which leads me finally to the story that I otherwise would have had to start off with today. It's certainly dark, not the least bit surprising, and might be another bad joke, except for the fact that it's not in the least bit funny. Dr. Mercola did a very good job of putting together a story that I was assembling the pieces for anyway, and it's certainly important enough we need to spend some time on it. And I think I've already introduced it. If you can get people dumbed down enough that they'll destroy their own businesses and their children's future, we're an idiotic mass that does nothing but show how dumbed down and subservient they actually are, and then tell them, bend over and take one up the rear end, because we not only want to rub your nose in it, we want to stick it where the sun don't shine. Do you think maybe you can get them to board the trains on command too? And here, folks, is the beauty and the brilliance of the modern Zyklon B solution. You don't have to get them to go to Auschwitz or Dachau. If you condition them well enough, and Joseph Goebbels is no doubt salivating over this one, they'll line right up and take your final solution wherever you decide to stick it to them. Dr. Mercola's summary, under the headline, Seniors Dying After COVID Vaccine, labeled as Natural Causes, and it's available on his site as well as places like Lou Rockwell and others, begins with an executive summary that sounds like stories your host has been doing for weeks, if not in fact the better part of a year at this point. Around the world, he says, reports are pouring in of people dying shortly after receiving the COVID-19 vaccine. And in many cases, they die suddenly within hours of taking the poke, while in other cases, death occurs within the span of a couple of weeks. Perhaps you remember high-profile cases that are already being un-fact-checked, like baseball great Hank Aaron and Larry King, among many others who didn't take the poke quite so publicly. Writes Dr. Mercola, baseball legend Hank Aaron, age 86, died January 22, 2021, 17 days after publicly getting vaccinated for COVID-19, and he said at the time that he hoped other blacks would follow his lead and get their vaccines too. But according to news reports, he died peacefully in his sleep, and no cause of death has been announced. Hey folks, don't expect to hear one either. And as I go through the rest of this piece, ponder the following contradiction. People die in a car crash or a motorcycle wreck? It's COVID-19. They die of an alcohol overdose? Hey, it's COVID-19. Multiple gunshot wounds? Hey, guess what? Say it with me. It's COVID-19. They die of a combination of diabetes, long-term respiratory and pulmonary failure, or any number of other comorbidities? It's COVID-19. And yet, when they die immediately after taking the poke, even if they may have tested positive for COVID-19 to boot, it certainly wasn't the vaccine that killed them. As a matter of fact, I'll even suggest, this is not intended to be humorous, but it might come off that way, about the only way not to be recorded as a death due to COVID-19 is to take the vaccine first and die immediately thereafter. And if you can sense the pattern here, it probably means you're not going to be willing to bend over and take what they've got planned for you either. But if you can't yet, stay with me. Related news, says Dr. Mercola, Norway has recorded 29 senior citizen deaths in the wake of their vaccination push, most of which were over the age of 75, out of 42,000 Norwegians by that time who'd received the vaccine. And while health officials initially downplayed any connection to the poke, a report in Bloomberg suggested the Norwegian Medicines Agency are now reconsidering. At the time of these deaths, the Pfizer vaccine was the only one then available in Norway, so, quote, all deaths are thus linked to this vaccine, said the agency to Bloomberg. Quote, there are 13 deaths that have been assessed, and we're aware of another 16 that are currently being assessed, said the agency, although are reportedly related to elderly people with serious basic disorders. Whoa, time out, and a quick aside here, isn't that the very population that is pretty much the only ones actually at serious statistically significant risk from dying of the booga booga flu to begin with? Most people, though, quote, have experienced the expected side effects of the vaccine, such as nausea and vomiting, fever, local reactions at the injection site, and worsening of their underlying condition, unquote. And just maybe you're thinking, isn't it funny how a lot of people don't even know they had COVID-19? Or at worst, they got a sniffle? I honestly can't think of any reason why people would be willing to put up with side effects that are worse by far than anything they might actually get were they to catch the booga booga flu. And of course, given the incredible number of false positives, who knows anyway? The findings have now prompted Norway to suggest that the COVID-19 vaccination may be too risky for the very old or terminally ill, said the most cautious statement yet from a European health authority. Noting in addition, for those that are frail, quote, even relatively mild vaccine side effects can have serious consequences, and for those that have a very short time remaining anyway, the benefit of the vaccine may be marginal or irrelevant, or folks, it may just plain kill you. America's Dr. Mengele, Tony Fauci, director of the so-called National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, commented that the deaths have to be, quote, put in context with the population they're occurring in, unquote. Is that the context that we wanted these people dead anyway? I can't help but think, yeah, somewhat sarcastically. In other words, writes Dr. Mercola, kind of going where I was, these people were old, and old people die. It's hypocrisy at its finest. When seniors die before vaccination, it's due to COVID-19. Something must be done to prevent it. But when they die after vaccination, well, it was natural causes, and no preventive action is necessary. Because after all, the point is, what was it that Ebenezer Scrooge said? Oh yeah, let them die and reduce the surplus population. Said who? The laughably misnamed World Health Organization. Since there was, quote, no certain connection to the vaccines, and kind of like what we saw with smoking for years, folks, it's real difficult to prove a certain connection. Well, there's no reason to discontinue giving it to senior citizens, whom, obviously, they just as soon die and reduce the surplus population anyway. But wait, there's more. Dr. Mercola calls them questionable coincidences. And, of course, if you can believe the election results, folks, you can swallow a whole bunch of questionable coincidences. Interestingly, though, he says several areas have reported deaths increasing rapidly after vaccination programs were implemented. The news stories don't actually say it straight out, but if you look at the dates given, it certainly raises those questions. One such example is what's happening in Gibraltar at the southern tip of Spain with a population of 34,000. That area rolled out its vaccine program on January 9th of this year using the Pfizer mRNA vaccine. And by January 17th, that's 8 days for CNN watchers, 5,847 doses had been administered. That's about 17% of the population, according to a report by Medical Express. But the curious thing about it is the area's first recorded death from COVID-19 didn't occur until mid-November 2020. By January 6, 3 days before the vaccination program began, the total COVID-1984-related death toll reportedly, and remember, this counts who knows what, stood at 10. Funny thing, though, by January 17th, the total death toll suddenly skyrocketed to 45. In other words, 35 people died in the first 8 days of the vaccination program, most of them above the age of 80. And that's 350% more than died in all the time leading up to it. Said Chief Minister Fabian Picardo, quote, this is now the worst loss of life of Gibraltarians in over 100 years. Even in war, we've never lost so many in such a short period of time. None of the deaths, though, were blamed on the vaccine. Instead, they're loosely blaming them on the new variant of SARS-CoV-2. And isn't it convenient, folks, that that came along at just the perfect time to be the scapegoat for whatever happens next? Yep, says Dr. Mercola, the vaccine rollouts do coincide with outbreaks. Because other areas are reporting outbreaks of COVID-19, resulting in increased death tolls right after the rollout of the vaccines. Case in point, Auburn, New York, where a COVID-19 outbreak began on December 21, 2020, in a Cayuga County nursing home. And before this outbreak, not a single person there had died from the booga booga flu. The next day, though, December 22, they started vaccinating residents and staff. The first death was reported December 29th, 1 week later. And between December 22nd and January 9th, 193 residents, 80%, received the vaccine, as did 113 staff members. And as of January 9 of this year, 137 residents had been infected, 24 had died, 47 staff members also tested positive for SARS-CoV-2, one was on life support.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
consider, writes Dr. Mercola, we're now also seeing cases, which we weren't seeing before, in which healthy young and middle-aged individuals are dying within days of receiving the vaccine. But it's certainly not inconceivable that the vaccine might have something to do with these dramatic rises in the death rates among the elderly in various parts of the world. In fact, says Dr. Mercola, I'd expect it. But rest assured, the public health authorities and media will not report these observations, because anything that conflicts with vaccine safety and effectiveness will be intentionally and universally buried. Not only that, folks, they'll ban anybody who wants to talk about it and expunge their very memory from the web to boot. Since this is precisely the modus operandi, says Dr. Mercola, over the past 3 decades, it's really up to each individual to do their own research. And at this point, I'll add one other observation. Yeah, based on cynicism, as well as what Dr. Mercola is talking about, decades of observation of the way the narrative plays out and Big Brother spins things, if people start dropping like flies, and we know it couldn't possibly be the vaccination, not only will it be the Booga Booga Flu version 2, it's going to be one more reason why you're going to have more than one Zyklon B poke. See how the game is played? Nothing new, folks. It's called heads I win, tails you lose, as often as necessary. But wait, we're not done yet. There's still more. Massive amounts of serious side effects are also emerging, says Dr. Mercola. And while the global vaccine campaign is less than a month old in most places, reports of serious side effects have already started pouring in and, of course, are being expunged. Many are sharing their personal experiences, while they're not banned, on socialist media networks. Disturbingly, many are having those same stories censored as misleading or false, even though people can say, hey, it happened to me, I ought to know. And videos in particular, writes Dr. Mercola, are being taken down. And aside from sudden death within hours or days, which is arguably kind of the worst case, although based on what we're seeing, some folks may ultimately disagree with that, examples of other serious side effects among survivors of the Pfizer and Moderna mRNA vaccines include, but are not limited to, persistent malaise and extreme exhaustion, severe allergic, including anaphylactic reactions, multisystem inflammatory syndrome, chronic seizures, convulsions, paralysis, including Bell's palsy, and probably other diseases to be named later. To get a feel for what's really happening, he writes, check out Prezi.com, Prezi.com, where someone started collecting the stories from various socialist media posts, and it's a rather shocking compilation, well worth sharing with family and friends who are still on the fence about lining up to commit suicide. Now, that's not the way he put it. He said, taking the vaccine. I'm going to suggest that maybe these mRNA vaccines are well on their way to making the Darwin Awards passé. Writes Dr. Mercola, many people are saying things like they feel weird or, quote, I don't feel like myself. Dizziness, racing heart, extreme high blood pressure seem to be the most common complaint, as is severe, chronic, seemingly unbreakable headache that does not respond to medication. Many describe the pain they feel in their body as like being, quote, run over by a bus or beaten with a bat, unquote. Others are reporting swollen, painful lymph nodes, severe muscle pain, gastrointestinal issues. Maybe they will eventually have an excuse for that stick-up-the-old-you-know-what. And symptoms mimicking strokes are even being reported, although CT scans don't seem to show anything of real concern. One such report is from a 19-year-old girl, and several have reported lethal heart attacks claiming the lives of someone they love. Psychological effects as well are starting to creep in. One woman on chemotherapy reported, quote, mood changes with intermittent periods of elation and mild euphoria, while bouts of anxiety, depression, brain fog, confusion, and dissociation are also being reported, as is insomnia or the inability to sleep. Some are reporting hearing voices, and other reports losing the ability to formulate words about half an hour after getting the first dose of the vaccine, and a third reports, similarly, struggling for lost words, while loss of taste and or smell are also being reported, as well as taste alterations. Some say they've had a metallic taste ever since the vaccination. Now, we certainly don't want to forget spontaneous abortion or miscarriage, and here your host has to interject, more than likely, increased infertility as well. That's one of those side effects you can almost bet they've been salivating for, and the beauty of it is it'll take long enough to develop that most people won't be able to connect cause and effect. So much the better. One pregnant woman, says Dr. Mercola, reported a spontaneous rupture of the amniotic sac, resulting in a premature delivery. Another woman's baby, 2 days after vaccination, was found to have no heartbeat and was delivered stillborn. While others describe vascular problems, including blotchiness in the skin and fingers turning blue. Yes, yes, I can already hear the lying fact-checkers squealing like stuck pigs. You can't prove the vaccines did that. Well, wait just a blankety-blanking minute. You certainly can't prove all those people died of COVID-19 either. But one thing ought to be really clear by now. The goal here is not consistency or facts. It's propaganda and pushing a narrative. So shut up, wear your mask, and bend over, because by now you ought to know what's coming. And by the way, folks, any kidding aside here, if that's offensive to you, so is dying a horrible death at the hands of people who really want to see that happen to you. What's happening now in conquered America is an agenda that's played out throughout human history. And not just in Nazi Germany, Stalinist Russia, and Mao's China. And that includes lots of smaller, now forgotten places, as well as Beijing Biden's America. Dr. Judy Mikovits is quoted in the article as saying the following. We see mast cell activation syndromes. The clinical symptoms are going to be inflammatory diseases. We hear everyone calling it long-haul COVID, the extreme, profound, crippling fatigue, the inability to produce energy from your mitochondria. It's not, she says, long-haul COVID. It's exactly what it always was. Myalgic encephalomyelitis, inflammation of the brain and the spinal cord, unquote. And while people are hoping and praying their side effects may be temporary, a significant portion say they're still struggling with the effects 1 or 2 weeks after the shot. Time will tell, though, whether they turn out to be permanent, but considering the fact that the mRNA vaccines reprogram your DNA, there's certainly the possibility that these or other symptoms might be long-lasting. Returning to an interview that he did recently with cellular and molecular biologist Dr. Judy Mikovits about the mechanics of the COVID-19 mRNA vaccines, and at this point we better put that in quotes because in actuality, she notes, they're gene therapy, not conventional vaccines. And she suspects not only that these long-term side effects will become commonplace, but based on the mechanics and biological effects of these gene therapies masquerading as vaccines, let's just say some of the effects may be downright debilitating. Parkinson's disease, microvascular disorders, cancers, severe pain syndromes, bladder problems, kidney disease, psychological disorders, running the entire spectrum from autism to psychosis, neurodegenerative diseases, sleep disorders, and infertility, as well as other reproductive problems, are part and parcel of what we're talking about here. And the underlying causes, says Dr. Mikovits, are neuroinflammation and dysregulation of the immune system, imagine that, and endocannabinoid system. Quote, it's the brain on fire, she says. You're going to see tics. You're going to see Parkinsonian disease. You're going to see ALS. You're going to see things like this developing at extremely rapid rates, and it's inflammation of the brain. We see mast cell activation syndromes, the clinical symptoms of which are going to be the inflammatory diseases. And as I've already noted, she goes on to say what it really is what it always was, myalgic encephalomyelitis, inflammation of the brain and spinal cord, and what they're doing is intentionally killing off certain populations. Dr. Mercola goes on to talk at some length about discrepancies in the death rates between the Moderna and Pfizer mRNA so-called vaccines. There's a shocker. And then goes on to ask the obvious question, are the lethal effects being hidden? And you know what, folks? Given the answer is so obviously duh, I'm going to rephrase that. What possible reason would they have for actually fessing up and telling you the truth at this point? There's not just billions, but trillions to be made. They're completely indemnified by pretty much every government on the planet from all the harm that they are accomplishing. And given warp speed, there's been absolutely no long-term testing whatsoever. Besides, Communist China has already announced publicly that they want all Americans dead, all the better to take over the country and leave the infrastructure intact. And most of their liberal comrades are all for genocide anyway. They call it tolerance nowadays. And don't forget, Earth has about 6 billion or more people than they want on hand anyway. I'll paraphrase Dr. Mercola's conclusion. Are you more afraid of a sniffle or any one of the now demonstrated side effects of the Zyklon B vaccine, perhaps ending up being permanent? Because after all, the changes to your DNA certainly will be. I'll say it this way. There's a clear message here being sent by not only the muzzling, but by sticking a swab up your butt. They don't merely want hundreds of millions of people in the United States dead. They want to humiliate them first. It's never been more important to know who created us, in whose image, and who we need to serve. Because otherwise, you literally just don't have a prayer.